Once again, let me reset for you quickly. We are having a tremendous day. And by we, I mean all of us. Me, the crew, you. Ton of good content, great phone calls, great interviews. I want to keep rolling right into hour number three. And we haven't done it yet. One more hour. Finish strongly, man. Roll that thing into the weekend. Finish strongly. You'll enjoy it so much more. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Phone lines are wide open nationwide. 1-800-636-8686. I thought Justin Gaethje showed up like a beast, like the boss that he is. What a great conversation. And I am pumped to have this conversation because it has been a minute or two since he has been on this show. He is NBC Sports lead golf analyst. He is the winner of the 1993 PGA Championship, a 12-time winner on the PGA Tour, captain of the 2008 Ryder Cup team, a Ben Hogan Award winner, also TaylorMade. Driving Relief, supported by United Health Group, starts Sunday at 2 p.m. on NBC, Golf Channel, and NBC Sports Network. It's a great event. We'll get into that. We are joined by Paul Azinger. Paul, it is so great to have you back. Before we get into the return of golf and Sunday's event, how are you, Paul, and everybody else around you doing in the middle of this pandemic?
Well, I hope everybody's well. Stay safe and mind your germ intake, I guess. We're all doing great, Romy. It's been a long time since I've been on the show. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. This TaylorMade event is going to be a nice start to get to try to get things back to normal. It'll be a nice exhibition between four really good players on a terrific course. And we're lucky, though, that, you know, we can live in Florida and get outside. And the course is never closed here in Florida. The clubhouses did, but I think that's made a big difference for a lot of people. Golf has.
Zinger, it's great to have you back. Yeah, the event's going to be great. I want to ask you about that in a few moments, and then I'll follow up. But we are now 27 years removed from that PGA Championship win. As you look back, what do you remember, Paul, about that final round?
It was a pretty studly leaderboard. I wasn't in the last group. I was in the second to last or third to last group. Greg Norman had the lead. He'd won the British Open a few weeks before that, and but I was at the top of my game, Romy. I had 10 top threes or something in like 11 months going into that event with a few wins. I won Jack's tournament, holing out of the bunker. And I was just confident. And not only that, I was the best player in the world not to win a major. So, you know, I had butterflies on Tuesday that week. I knew I was going to be in contention. Had a big gambling game. Fred Couples and I played Watson and Raymond Floyd, and we took them to task, I remember, on Tuesday. And it was just one of those weeks I just felt the pressure the day I left on the airplane to go out to the PGA Championship. And come Sunday, when I was there, it was almost it was like a desperation. You can do this. You got to do this, you know. I just heard Justin Gaethje a minute ago. You know, he was willing to die to get in the ring, really. I believe him. I really do believe him. And I guess when you're playing, you get in a desperate place when you've had some chances to win and you let them get away. And here's another chance, and you're up against guys that got you in the past, you know, Norman and Faldo. It was a good leaderboard, and I just didn't want them celebrating at my expense, and thank goodness for me, I made enough putts. I think I shot four under the last nine holes. They said the last seven holes, actually, and got Greg in a playoff, but I tell you, I was cramping up, Romy. The pressure was real, and for me, it was, you know, it was all about the prestige. It's not to do with the cash at that point in the game. You know, you're just trying to make history, and you can't make history unless you win a major, and I think all those guys know that.
Man, that is such a great answer. Paul Azinger joining us. Just to recap that really quickly, Paul, you were regarded as the best player not to have won a major at that point, and then you're in a position, and again, on that leaderboard, you've got the likes of Greg Norman, Nick Faldo, Vijay Singh, Tom Watson, and then you did beat Norman in a playoff. What do you remember about the playoff itself?
My whole body relaxed in a playoff. I was dehydrated, though. I got a big calf cramp on number 10 green in the playoff, which is our second playoff hole. But my whole body relaxed. And, you know, I guess it relaxed. See, the challenge when you're in that kind of an intense pressure and you want to win so bad is can your body still react in a relaxed way when your heart's beating hard enough you can feel your pulse in your fingertips, you know? And that's what it's like. And so, I don't know. It's just one of those things. I was able to relax more in the playoff. Greg and I both could have made birdie on the first hole, and then I stuffed it in there on the second hole of the playoff and missed my putt. And then he ended up missing. It's a tough way for us to finish, but It was fun. I'll tell you what, I'll never forget it.
Paul Azinger, my guest. One more thought. Justin Gaethje, you mentioned you had heard the interview. When he said, I just am able to get comfortable with that adrenaline, that enormous release of adrenaline, and I'm prepared to die if that's what it takes. I think like any great athlete, you have to find a way to manage the moment, manage your emotion, and manage the adrenaline. How do you do that?
Well, you know, he said he trusts his trainer, his coach, you know, to save him, to save his life. Really, didn't he say that?
He did.
And, you know, in some ways we trust our caddies enough to say, hey, you got to relax me. I'm so nervous I can't spit. And, you know, generally that relationship between player and caddy is a big deal, and it pays big dividends. When that, you know, you get a Stevie Williams and Tiger Woods combination, it was an intimidating duel, and they fed off each other, and those guys were hard to beat. So part of it comes from that relationship on the course. Of course, you have to be comfortable at home. You know, I got a great family, a great wife, and that helps. But, you know, in the end, you dig deep. You prepared your whole life to do this. You got to out-concentrate the field. You got to think the best. And, you know, when it comes down to me against you at the very end, you know, I just always relaxed and just I just don't want them to celebrate at my expense. And a lot of times they did, but at least they beat me when I was relaxed.
Paul Azinger is joining us. You know, Paul, obviously golf is only a part of your story. You did an interview with Golf Week recently, and you were talking about when you received your cancer diagnosis. Paul, I've mentioned this so many times over the years on the program, but cancer is something that we are all directly or indirectly connected to. Like, everybody knows somebody who has dealt with this, or everybody knows somebody who knows somebody. My father passed, he had leukemia, so I know what this is like to get that news. When you received your cancer diagnosis, what do you remember about that moment and what went through your head?
Yeah, that was a scary time. I mean, my shoulder hurt for a long time, Jim. It hurt for 6 months. Dr. Frank Jobe, the great orthopedic surgeon who invented the Tommy John surgery, was working with the tour, and he was the guy that showed the most concern about my shoulder, and everybody else kind of thought it was tendonitis or bursitis, but he did a bone scan, and it was actually after the Skins game I played in, 1993 Skins game, and then the week after that is when I found I had cancer, and he walked in the office and sat down, and my wife and I were there, and he says, I got bad news, and in his demeanor, you know, was such. He was just a soft, gentle man with a big, big reputation and voice. And the concern on his face struck me. And when he said, you have cancer, my wife and I were just silent. And I just said, well, how do you treat it? And he said, with chemotherapy and radiation. And I got up and went to the bathroom and threw up. I mean, it freaked me out. I was probably the hottest player in the world at the time. I mean, I'd had 11 top threes in 10 months, and I had 4 wins in that period, the Tour Championship and the Major and Jack's Tournament, and it was like, wow, just like that, I wasn't going to be at the Masters or the Tournament of Champions. My whole life was changing, and I realized I wasn't really in control. And so I think priority-wise, you just learn to love each day as it comes. And if I can be an inspiration to people, I will, and especially through this COVID thing. We just got to love every day that we get and just, you know, put ourselves where we are. If, you know, I've got such a good situation, it's hard for me to give advice because I know there's a lot of people that they open their front door and they're in a hallway because they're in an apartment complex. It's tough on them, and we're just praying for them. And, but, you know, I got over it somehow. And thank goodness for chemotherapy and radiation.
You know, I so appreciate your thoughts on that, Paul. How about one quick follow? Like, what would you say to somebody who's listening right now who might have just received a cancer diagnosis and feel the way you did? Like, their world's been turned upside down. They're terrified. They're in shock. They don't know what to think or what to do now.
Well, it's real easy now because it's been 25 years, 27 years since my diagnosis. And I realize now that millions and millions of people are cured from cancer. They figured out how to cure cancer. It's unbelievable. In most cases, it has to be, you know, if it's caught early, it's very curable. I've had thousands of people come to me through the years and tell me that they've been cured from of cancer. The treatment might stink. It might last 6 months or a year, but and they can prolong your life for 20 years, and you can have cancer the whole time. They have leukemia pills now, and it's just so different than having to have a put a port in your chest and have the chemo drip in. So I would say to anybody that's diagnosed, they're probably going to get it. I mean, they usually will get this cancer if it comes, and if it's caught at a, early enough, that's why you should go get screened. If it's caught early enough, they cancer gets beat almost all the time.
Paul Azinger, my guest. I appreciate your thoughts on that, Paul. Sunday's event is going to pit Rory McIlroy against Ricky Fowler, Matthew Wolff in a four-ball skins game at Seminole. First of all, what do you make of the track? What do you make of the course?
Well, it's an old golf course. It was built in 1930, Seminole. They would have played this exhibition on a dirt road probably if you'd cut a hole in the ground for the kind of money they're going to make.
Right.
But they landed at Seminole, and it is where Hogan used to prepare to play the Masters. It's where Jimmy DeMeritt used to prepare. Jimmy DeMeritt was best friends with Jackie Burke, who's, you know, Steve Elkington's mentor. And let's see, Claude Harmon prepared there. He's got the course record 60. That's Butch Harmon's dad, Jim. And it is a wonderful Donald Ross golf course. There's no trees. It's beautifully kept, but it's got all kinds of sand dunes. It's lots of undulations. The greens are tricky. The ball scampers along, and it's going to be fun to watch them. I hope that it's light. You know, it is an exhibition. I think they're going to have a lot of fun out there. They're all going to be mic'd. We have six handheld cameras, which hopefully will give a great perspective of the golf course. And I think the whole world's dying to see the golf course. Anybody that loves golf, it's never been on TV before. This will be the first time that Seminole, always ranked in the top 15 in the world, and at one time was fourth best golf course in the world. And it's definitely in my top five. This will be the first time it's ever been on television.
All right, so what do you make of the two teams? Do they feel like an even match to you?
You know, Dustin Johnson was hilarious yesterday. They asked him in the press conference about some British guy asked him about Rory McIlroy, and he said, what's your favorite thing about Rory McIlroy? What do you like about him the most? And what's the most memorable shot he's ever hit? He asked Dustin Johnson that, and Dustin said, well, everybody likes Rory, you know. I mean, he's a nice guy, super nice guy. He's a great golfer, but, as far as the shots, I can't, you know, he thought about it for me, so I can't remember. I don't know. I can't. He's a great player. He's hit a lot of great shots. I don't remember one. And the British guy says, well, do you remember the 15-footer he made to beat you out of $10 million 2 years ago? And Dustin was like, oh, that's right. I forgot about
that.
And he totally forgot about it, I think, which cracked me up.
That
is
funny.
Busted out laughing listening to that because I believed he had totally forgot. Either that or he was really just jacking with the guy asking the question. So, but those two are incredible to watch. Rory's, I think, the best player in the world. He's ranked number one, and it's deservedly so. He strikes it off the tee like nothing I've ever seen, really. Greg Norman kind of drove it like that, I guess, in our era. Tiger Woods at times. But what Rory can do with a driver separates him and sets him apart. He gives himself more wedge chances from short grass. Dustin Johnson's strength of his game is putting, or excuse me, is driving as well. And I think together, I mean, they should be impossible to beat, except Dustin hasn't played in like 30 or 40 days. And I think it just hit these guys yesterday that this is going to be a big, big deal. It's an exhibition match, but it's the first live thing on TV, and they're going to have some butterflies. The swings, how about the uniqueness of their four swings,
right,
by the way?
I like that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, no kidding. Matt Wolff, I heard Crenshaw say the other day, his forward press was like somebody shooting a slingshot, where he kicks that whole right side in and then swings that club back to the top. It's a wonderful-looking technique. I think it's one of the coolest things going. And plus his name's Wolf, which is kind of cool. So he's a heck of a player. He won NCAAs, and then his fourth tournament on the PGA Tour, he won it eagling the last hole. He hits it a country mile, and he's been a good player for a long time. And people are asking him or questioning, writing, like, why is he in this? And I think it's put a little bit of a chip on Wolf's shoulder, and he's going to come into this exhibition kind of with a burden of proof maybe, and that'll be cool. It'll be nervous for him. I mean, this is a big deal for these guys to play in front of the cameras again. It's been a long time, and it's on a very tricky course. Ricky knows the course like the back of his hand. Wolf at the top of his swing, his club is aiming 30 yards to the right of the target, maybe 20 yards to the right of the target. Ricky Fowler's club at the top of his swing is aiming 30 yards left of the target. I mean, their clubs are 50 yards apart at the top of their backswings. It's unbelievable. So I can't wait to watch these four guys go at it, talk about their techniques at times, but really just enjoy the golf course, see how they go around it. Hopefully the wind will blow, Jim, and we'll see a little carnage. I'd like to see one guy, maybe two guys play well. I was talking to my buddy a minute ago, but at least one or two of them have just a terrible day, because that's the kind of course that Seminole is. Those devilish bunkers are waiting for you. As soon as you hit an iron, it's not quite crisp. So maybe the course will be the star. And, of course, they're going to raise some real money. This isn't chicken feed. There's a lot of money that's going to get raised. And, you know, that's the bottom line.
I like it. Like I always say, Paul, give me an A or give me an F. I'm with you. Let's see a couple of guys just tear it up, and let's see somebody have some trouble. And, by the way, Matthew Wolf, he's got nothing to apologize for. I'm really into the fact that he's going to be there, and I'm anxious to see how he does. And I think that he will show up with a chip on his shoulder. The TaylorMade Driving Relief, supported by United Health Group, starts on Sunday at 2 p.m. It's on NBC Golf Channel and NBC Sports Network. Zinger, it has been way too long. I am so glad that you and I could finally get caught up proper, that you could come back in the jungle where you belong, and it's so good to hear your voice, Paul. I really appreciate that. That was a blast.
Well, hey, I appreciate it. I heard Digger Phelps today, and I'll tell you what, it was hard following that guy up. And this Gaethje, man, that was intense.
Dude, you've been logging some jungle time today, Paul. I appreciate that. Good looking out.
Yeah. Listen,
have a great time this weekend. We'll do it again soon.
Got it. See ya.
You got it. Great job, Zinger. Yeah, Paul, man, doing his homework. He heard Digger, he heard Gaethje, and said, man, that's a tough act to follow. Zinger's got no trouble following anybody. He's got it. Boy, he used to come on all the time back in the day. Always showed up like that, too. Great, great interviews. Three that I expected, one that I did not. We had Patrick Corbin, we had Justin Gaethje. I don't want Justin Gaethje to get lost in that either, because Zinger was so good. Zinger was so, so good. I don't want Justin Gaethje to get lost in that. Man, he showed up great. I'd never spoken to him before. And you never know exactly what you're going to get. Gaethje had one of the greatest performances I've ever seen in the octagon in beating Tony Ferguson. And it was great to have him on. All right, so let me break right now. When we come back, it is still Smack Off season. You could still rip a golden ticket before the end of the program and the end of the week. Once again, good job, everybody. Great show yesterday. Great show today. Albie's Week That Was is coming up. It's the most consistent thing about the jungle. You know what you're going to get from that. Boy, I hope I can get to my Bill Wennington reset. Great podcast episode. I'll try and get that in. 1-800-636-8686. And thanks to Paul Azinger. Great to have him back, too. Stay tuned. Your calls are next.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Man, it was good to have Zinger back. Love that. Paul Azinger. Good, good jungle guy from back in the day. Obviously a icon in that sport. And so good to chop it up with him. Great back-to-back interviews. Josh, in fact, tweets, best back-to-back interviews ever. Hey, it's right there. Gaethje and Zinger back-to-back were really strong. I'm really happy about the way that played out. But again, I'm happy about the way this is all playing out. It is smack-off season. And we've been getting tremendous reaction. A lot of good phone calls. People solidifying their spots, people taking their shot, flaming out miserably. This has been good. Really, really good. All right, let's get back to the phones. I've got Alvin's Week That Was coming up later on. The ATP is still ahead. Other content that I've not gotten to yet because your calls have been so strong. Oh, yeah, look who's here. My guy. When I say that, who do you think I'm going to go to? Look who's here. My guy. I'll give you a hint. My man's in New York. I'll give you another hint. He's John in New York.
Hey, John.
John, brother, what's going on? How you doing, John?
Jim, I'm just staying safe. I hope everybody out there is staying safe and everybody makes it through this thing. So, I was thinking about why they keep the studio cool, Jim, and that was because of the kook in the second row over there, because they don't want the corpse to rot. That's what I'm saying, in the second row of the control room. That's why they're keeping your studio room cool. So, and then Ritt with his he's like the guy out of sync, you know, when he's doing the drum rolls in between the commercials and everything. He looks, that's an H for hilarious, Jim. And by the way, Rick, if you're as smooth as you were yesterday on the show about the show, Jim, and the only reason why we all got this going on is because of you. Smack Off season is strong. The phone calls are strong. Okay, if Rick is as smooth as he was on Stuck Nut Radio last night, Jim, he's got a good chance to take Brad. And stay safe, Jim, and I hope to see you guys soon. I love you all.
My man, rack him. Way to go, brother. That's how you show up, John. Brother. Good job. Look at him taking that run at Ritt.
Mark it down.
Taking a run at old man Ritt. That corpse in the back row. Drumming off note or off time. Give that an H for hilarious.
Mark it down. That's an H.
John in New York, mark it down. He got racked. I love it. 1-800-636-8686. You racked John in New York. Stay safe, brother. Good to hear your voice. Rick in Buffalo got the Smack Off season treatment and apparently was a subject on Stuck Nut Radio. Let's go to British Columbia. All right, so we had a topic yesterday. I had a caller from Toronto win a golden ticket, Chris. And immediately the rest of Canada jumped in with butthole, butthole. Great. He's representing the butthole of Canada. I'm like, damn. Butthole, like, I know you all hate
butthole,
Toronto.
Butthole,
but
butthole.
It sounds like you hate Toronto more than you hate the U.S. And I actually asked the question of Canada. Is that a fact? And anybody in Canada outside of Toronto, do you hate Toronto more than you hate the U.S.? I'm hoping this guy can help me with it. British Columbia, Jeff. Good to have you, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, doing well, Jim. Yeah, here's much love to the States from the rest of Canada. As for you, Toronto, you know, forget it. I live and work all over the continent, and I would never move to Toronto. I spent 20 great years working in the States. Down there, you know, you divide your hate between, say, Duke, Yankees, the Dodgers. Up here, we're focused on one thing, and that's piling on Toronto. Chris, in Toronto, you may have a golden ticket, but your chances of winning the Smack Off are about as good as the Maple Leafs winning a Stanley Cup. And you haven't done that since 1967. You know, we'll cheer for the Montreal Canadiens before the Maple Leafs. We used to cheer for the Expos before we cheered for the Blue Jays. And you know, I'll tell you what, Toronto, look out, because Saskatchewan's going to get an NBA team made up of all our nice neighbors from the South and the States, and they're going to rip that title from your grimy little paws. So, you know, Canada way bigger on the States. Oh, say, can you see, dude?
That is amazing. That's a Canadian singing our national anthem. Much, but he just said it. Canada's much bigger on the States. So that answers my question yet again. Anybody from outside of Toronto, in Canada, who do you hate more, Toronto or the U.S.? And he just said it, Toronto. Is there anybody listening in Toronto that wants to respond to this? The fact that everybody outside of Toronto, in Canada, hates you more than they hate us, and I know they hate us. Not everybody, of course. That's really interesting to me. Hey, no matter what, regardless, Toronto's got a golden ticket. Let me ask you this. Would you rather not win the Smack Off with somebody from Toronto? Or would you rather somebody from Toronto representing all of Canada win a largely American contest, the Smack Off? All right, so I said earlier today, Cal, where are you? Stucknut Cal has you looking up at Sarah T in the odds. Everybody else is running around on air and off taking runs at you, Cal. Cal, generally you want to fight everybody. Where are you? Here he is. Let's go to Las Vegas. Cal in Vegas. Hey, Cal, the show is yours. Do what you do. What's up?
5'7", a buck 50. Yeah, Jim, I know they come in like that on some other whack-ass talk show. I just had to clarify. And I look like Kareem standing next to Rick in Buffalo. The reason I look small in that photo is because we're standing on a hill, and Kyle's iPhone 3 is crooked. And Kyle is supposed to be some professional photographer. Kyle, you take pictures about as well as you run smack. Hey, Kyle, next time you're in Las Vegas, I'm kicking your ass. Jim, I had the displeasure of riding in Kyle's hotel on wheels. That car is disgusting. It smells like weed and stale farts. I mean, the other reason I called is because Matt and Van came in here running his mouth. My favorite part of last year's Smack Off is when Matt got run. He ain't got no game. I mean, that loser thinks we're friends. Matt likes to come down to Vegas and hang out. It's because he knows I'll let him borrow some money. Man, Matt just smokes and drinks constantly, like some big degenerate. I mean, Matt's a really boring guy. He makes Bill Belichick seem jovial and charismatic. I mean, that's why I ditched him the last time he was down here. Matt is the most unathletic person I've ever met. Matt is 6'8", and he can't even dunk a basketball. I mean, how is that possible? I mean, despite the fact that he can't dunk, Matt says he gets down like Wilt Chamberlain in the bedroom. Wilt Chamberlain, you wish. More like AC Green. Hey, Jim, consider this my official RSVP to Smack Off 26. Just like that giant zit on Brad and Corona's arse, I'll be there. And unwar Stephen H-Town, I'm going to beat his ass too.
Cal in Vegas. Cal is just calling people out. Stucknut, you're next. All right, so he already had a golden ticket, and he just RSVP'd with that golden ticket. Are you waiting on me to rip that thing back? Are you waiting on me to rip that out of his hand? I'm not doing it. All right, Cal. Cal said, look, man, I'm not 5'6". It's Cal in Green Bay, who's worse at taking pictures than he is running smack. Good job, Cal. I called him out. He made the call to the program. Smack Off season, as good as it ever was. Man, I'm having a blast with this. You clones are showing up in a good way. Smack Off 26, 35 days out. $5,000 to the winner. Nothing to the runner-up. Even less if you come in third. When we return, banging telephone calls. Rolling telephone calls. This is good. This is so fun. So much show today. Patrick Corbin, Justin Gaethje, Paul Azinger made his triumphant return. Gaethje made a great jungle debut. I've got Smack Off participants, those who were trying to get in. Mark in Boston went back-to-back 2 days in a row. Cal with the call. It's a damn good day. One fat segment still ahead. Always Week That Was coming up. First up, here... Time to answer your ATP question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. ATP, Jimmo's. Whatever happened to your boy Spots? My boy Spots, Brent and PC asking. Spots is awesome. Spots is in the Bay Area. Spots and I went to Calabasas High School together. Grew up together. Spots was my best friend in high school and big, big, big sports fan. Great guy. And he, really quickly, so Spots and I used to wait for the bus after school. And Spots was huge. Spots was maybe 6'4", and at the time, pretty overweight. He was a big dude. I'm not that big of a dude. Spots liked to have slap fights. You know, we'd wait for the bus. He'd be going upside my head. Come on, Rome. Come on, Rome. Come on, Rome. I was not having a good day one day. So I'm like, not today, man. He's like, come on, man. Come on, man. Round three. I'm like, Spots, not today, man. I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling you today. Come on, man. Come on, man. Round three. So I hit him in the mouth. He shook it off and he dotted my eye and it closed quickly. And much like Steve Kerr and Michael Jordan, we were even closer after that. No, we weren't. What are you doing, man? Spots was my best friend growing up in high school and throughout. He went to Ohio State, transferred to UC Santa Barbara. Spots might be the smartest kid that I, and in fact, I know he is. He's not only the smartest kid I grew up with, he might be the smartest guy I know. And he is a corporate attorney in the Bay Area, still brilliant, and he is doing well. Brent, I will make sure that he knows that you asked about him. And the reason he spots is he's got a lot of freckles. That's where he got that nickname. Richard Carrolly is his actual name. Great guy. Amazing guy. All right, let's go to the phones. This guy's back for more. Dan in Denver has been to the Smack Off and will again. Let's get right to it. Dan, what's up?
What's up, Jim? Hey, Cal in Vegas, you said Kyle's car smelled like weed and stale gas. Is that better or worse than your apartment that smells like stale weed and fresh gas? I mean, based on your height, Cal, I imagine Kyle hooked you up with a rear-facing seat. Whew, Jimmy, I've been trying to get through for a while now today, but it's been busy. I guess Mark in Boston is trying to get through again. But, Jim, I appreciate Mark's hustle of annoying the hell out of you so you never do that to him again. It's working. My favorite part was when he told everyone to level up, and then he ran smack at the golden ticket winners. What do they say, Jim? Do as I say, not as I do. And Mark, you said you were the greatest to ever relocate from Boston to Tampa. Does that mean you kiss your kids better than Brady does too? Jim, today's the anniversary of Odor knocking out Batista, so I'm going to knock out another nerd from Toronto real quick. Chris, I bring up Odor because your calls stink. Jim, it was super cute of Chris in Toronto to come in yesterday to fight Matt and Van's battles for him. You're right, Chris. I may hear LT during my smack-off call, but you'll just be hearing me while you're on hold. It's like girls from Buffalo versus girls from L.A. You're a Canadian 10, but on game day you'll be a 4. Wore Justin Gaethje and wore the 303 out, Romy.
All right, Dan. Not bad. Dan in Denver. 1-800-636-8686. Let's quickly get another phone call in here. We have time or no? Johnny, hang in there. I may or may not get to you. I have to get to Alvin's week that was. What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Monday to you. Busy program for you today. Step it up now. Come on, get in here. UFC 249 was held on Saturday night, and dang.
Damn, that
was a scene.
Too much.
That was something to see.
Yeah!
Oh! Good night now.
20 seconds. Grand opening, grand closing. Thanks for coming. Nice knowing you. Kevin Ioli is joining us.
I thought it was an awesome show. The final three fights were just spectacular when you consider the significance of the...
I want to give my time to my procreation.
Just blew right past. I'm taking my talents to South Beach. For an all-time great explanation of future plans.
You in or out? And he said, I'm out.
If I had a chance to do it over again, I probably wouldn't change.
I mean, that part about how you wouldn't re-enter a game, not because you were hurt, but because he didn't call your name and you were disrespected as a man.
No disrespect.
And by the way, the coach made the right decision, yet you would change nothing. Scotty, come on, man. Really?
Really?
All right, Beck is joining us.
That was absolutely fascinating. Still can feel right years later because you can put yourself right back in that moment, in that mindset, and feel like, yeah, this is messed up.
Kevin's already informed me that we will take Logan into the home school academy. Oh, he's easy. He just wants nothing to do with it. Apparently, Logan thinks that he can get paid as a gamer.
Paid for.
Don't want to play that way? Don't play that way.
Why not just say, that's how I did it. That was my mentality. If you couldn't do it, if that wasn't for you, break. What was going on in that moment? I wonder.
Alvin. You may have been a tyrant.
You couldn't handle me.
No one ever been or ever will be like Mike Jordan. And I'll tell you why. The guy in L.A.
Notice things have not gone so well for my guy since I gave him that golden ticket.
Double rainbow. Oh, my God.
Life is beautiful, man, and so is Paul Vasquez. R.I.P. Rest in prism. See us somewhere over the double rainbow. Jimmy Johnson.
Rolling into 21 and just see what comes our way.
It'll be good to see you out there. Jimmy, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much. Good luck.
I've been telling you.
He didn't ghost me at the end of the interview. He is Tyler Kepner.
Who knew Donald Trump was a Tony Gwynn fan?
I believe it's Glenn Rice.
You learn something new every day.
Alvy, let's do this. Patriot. Brah. Citizen. Brah.
Come on.
And more Kyle in Green Bay meeting the ugliest group of people I've seen since the Laguna Beach belly rolled all those old dudes into your studio.
I couldn't tell if Jim went to Matt in Vancouver or Matt in Cleveland.
Global warming.
Just breathe, Matt.
West Virginia now. Alan, nice to have you. What's up? Alan, go ahead. You're on the air.
Alan.
No, you're Alan. I'm Jim.
Alan.
He said, hey. That's clearly hey, right? Clear as day, hey.
Alan.
Three say Alan, three say hey.
Hey!
And he reaches out and handed something to the ref, and the ref put it in his pocket. I was like, what the f***?
But I've never seen a fighter lose a tooth and then hand it to the ref. And the ref puts it in his pocket like, yo, I got you. I got you, big dog.
It's crazy.
And I know some of you guys hate to hear it, but America's hat still owns your fat, balding asses. So pipe down there.
Give him a golden ticket.
Oh, Canada.
Speaking of nuggets, it's called a transition clone. Look it up.
First off, Kyle preps Cal's beer for him like you would do for your wife or your girlfriend, you know. It's actually very sweet of him.
You know I was pulling for you. Jay Feely joining us. So in terms of his mindset, do you think that maybe Brady's going there because he wants to have a little bit of fun? He wants to enjoy himself?
Yeah, he does always have a chip on his shoulder. Always.
Always.
Anytime people doubt him and question him, he uses that as fuel and his motivation.
Note to that fat ass, when your side salad has a Mount Everest of bacon bits on it, you've broken your diet. Dump out that lettuce and put that mountain of bacon bits on top of a bowl of nacho cheese covered taco meat, you sick pig.
Softball, bacon bits, medium sized cat turd, champion brand cut off sweatpants, empty bags of Cheetos.
Buddy Black, my guest.
We go back to the late 80s, the mighty 690. We met first time at San Diego State on the baseball field there, and I'll always remember those early days of Jim Rome, man.
Shy. Flipped over the table, pulled out guns, and put them in someone's face.
You loser. You hack.
You fat ass.
You sociopath. You scumbag.
God, you're a loser.
Fat boy. Don't come get some, you bitches.
Me being left on hold was the best thing that ever happened to me and the worst thing to ever happen to all of you.
Justin Gaethje joining me for a few more moments.
I never asked for something I didn't deserve, and I earned this. The UFC picks and chooses who they want to market, and now I just dropped a bomb, and they don't have a choice. I made them choose me.
This Gaethje, man, that was intense.
Matt says he gets down like Wilt Chamberlain in the bedroom. Wilt Chamberlain, more like A.C. Green.
Not the Rome universe.
Congratulations on everything.
I go hard in the paint because y'all can't.
Beef Wellsington.
I said what?
His what?
Spots.
Procreation.
Oh! That's two butthole blasts.
That's an H for hilarious.
Yes, sir. It's my honor. Big fan.
Brit.
Good night now!
Strong stuff, Alvy. The week that was. Every single Friday at that time. Let's get to the phones. We do have time on the back end. Let's try Texas. Johnny, closing out a strong week for us. Johnny, what's up?
Jimmy, what's going on, my man? How you living?
Good, dude. How about you?
I'm good down here in Texas, bro. Hope everybody at the Rome household is getting down and being safe, man. Listen, Joe, Jim, I wanted to take a run at that dirtbag car.
That's not a good car. No.
You don't like that car.
I don't like that car. Not a very good call.
Johnny, I would have let that go. You calling me Joe. But Alvin was not going to let that go. Anyway, Johnny was going to take a run at somebody. Good news, Evan in Oregon. Because of that, you're in. You're next up. Evan, you're on the air. What's up? How are you?
Hey, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. The smack off season, I had a few thoughts about some of your recent contributors. So here it goes. Hey, Reggie in the OC, heard your call yesterday. Why were you breathing harder than Caleb in Green Bay waiting for his to-go order at Red Lobster? Hey, Brad, I know you're supposed to love all your children equally, but you can't tell me that you don't love Reggie a little less than the others after that call. Hey, Wells in the 360, are you going to do another gender reveal for that baby you're carrying? You're fat. Hey, Rick in Buffalo, old man Brady leaving the AFC East for the sun-kissed state is the best thing to happen to Buffalo since they raised minimum wage to $7 an hour. Get it? Tom Brady? Sun-kissed? Hey, Matt and Tyler, how does it feel to have some rando in Toronto make the best call out of what you call a country in years? Hey, Cal, saw the video of you playing golf the other day. Looks like you're a short game specialist. Well, that's all I got for you today, Jim. I had more jokes, but Wells ate them. Later.
I don't even know what I'm laughing at. That's not funny. I had more jokes, but Wells ate them. Thanks for that, Evan. Thanks for nothing at all, Evan. Now we are done. It was a good day, though. A couple of good days. In fact, a good week. My thanks to Paul Azinger. So good to have him back. Justin Gaethje with a tremendous jungle debut. Patrick Corbin also was in. Thanks to the XR4TI crew working hard this week. You clones did a really nice job. Can you run it back next week? Can you do it again? Hope so. Have yourselves a safe weekend. Have a great weekend. And I will see you right back here on Monday. We're out.
Man, listen, Joe, Jim.